Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the possibility of a financial meltdown in Cyprus if Monday's deadline to avert a collapse of the island's banking system is not met. James Henry, the Edward R. Murrow Fellow at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Diplomacy, joins us to look into whether a collapse of this treasure island of laundered Russian money could have broader ramifications for the Eurozone and why the lessons of the dangers of unregulated banks appears to have no impact on Wall Street's push for deregulation and overturning Dodd-Frank. Then we'll go to Jordan for a report on President Obama's recent trip and the refugee crisis the kingdom is facing from the civil war next door in Syria. Dawood Khatab, who established the Arab world's first internet radio station, AmanNet, joins us to provide a regional analysis of the likely impact of an increasingly desperate Assad regime in its last throes, provoking a wider conflict, and what domino effect the fall of the Syrian dictatorship will have on the neighborhood. Then finally, we'll speak with Douglas Rushkoff about his new book, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, an expert on the intersection of technology and culture, who in 2004 predicted the current recession and coined the phrase viral media. Rushkoff argues that it's not technology that is the problem, but our misunderstanding of time, where the priorities of the moment seem to be everything. Joining us now is James Henry, who's an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist, and former chief economist at McKinsey & Company. He is the Edward R. Murrow Fellow at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and Inspire Fellow at its Institute for Global Leadership. He was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Henry.
Good to be here.
And the French finance minister has described Cyprus as a casino economy that is on the brink of bankruptcy. Why then is this so important to the Eurozone? Is this something they can handle, or is this the beginning of its unraveling?
Well, I think on paper it looks like a relatively tiny problem. I mean, they're talking about needing to come up with at most another $8 billion to finance this. They've already offered $10 billion. So compared to the Greek bailout, where we had the European Central Bank providing 240 billion euros last year, this is tiny. But the symbolic thing is important because The EU and Angela Merkel of Germany in particular have kind of put a line in the sand and said, you know, we are not going to bail out oligarchs. And, Cyprus's banks now have at least $26 billion of Russian money, much of which is suspected of coming from the underground economy there. And so she's facing an election in November. She doesn't want to be in a position of looking like they're providing a total bailout. So they're insisting that Cyprus come up with about half the money on its own, and that's been the sticking point.
Well, I guess the history then, I'm not sure of it, but my understanding is, for example, during the collapse of Yugoslavia and the subsequent wars in the Balkans, Milosevic, the Serbian leader, apparently essentially looted the Yugoslav treasury and parked it all in Cyprus for him and his cronies. So when did the Russians decide that this was their Cayman Islands?
Well, the Russians have been in Cyprus for a long time, even before going back to the Crimean War. I mean, their alliance with the Greek Orthodox kind of groups and
co-religious,
a lot of ties to a lot of kind of cultural ties there as well. But at the turn of the Cold War, $300 billion left Russia during the first few years, and a lot of it ended up going to havens like Cyprus. Cyprus only got admitted to the EU back in 2004, the EU was being pressured by Greece. Basically, Greece said that you can't admit any other countries in Eastern Europe unless you admit Cyprus. So even though Cyprus has, it's half the size of Connecticut and has a population of, 860,000 Greek Orthodox, it's really outsized influence on this whole situation. But I think the origins of this particular crisis are the fact that the Cyprus banks were offering huge interest rates on deposits, and they were investing heavily in the Greek banks that were kind of issuing junk bonds back in 2007, 2008. And they really got creamed when the EU insisted on a so-called haircut for the Greek bond owners last year. That was the start of the most recent crisis. So it's really a situation where unregulated banking at the country level, which is a problem that the EU has struggled with. It really doesn't have effective banking regulation country by country, and it's trying to maintain this common currency policy in the absence of effective bank regulation, which is, you know, a fundamental problem with the EU model.
Well, this seems to be a completely distorted economy. If the deposits in the banks are eight times the country's GDP, and if, as you mentioned, these banks were attracting outside capital, a lot of it, you know, black money, dirty money, whatever you want to call it. I know that wasn't necessarily the case in Iceland, but my understanding in Iceland was that they were also attracting foreign deposits by offering high interest rates. And again,
they were doing, yeah, exactly the same thing. But in Cyprus, you have an even worse situation where effectively you have a real active tax haven. I mean, their corporate tax rate is 10%. Tax rate is 10%, and there's a lot of deductions from that. So there's a lot of round-tripping investment going into Europe by way of Cyprus, and Germany is upset about that. You also have 54,000 non-resident companies based in Cyprus and very, very low individual income taxation. And so you also have these all this money pouring through Cyprus and in the form of banking deposits, a lot of complaints about money laundering. So this is, you know, a little bit different from Iceland in that it's kind of wild west banking, wild east banking, I guess we should call it. But these folks have managed to get themselves into the EU and have exploited the common currency to attract, you know, all this investment money, knowing that they might be bought or hoping that they would be bailed out.
Again, I'm speaking with James Henry, an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist. He's the former chief economist at McKinsey & Company and is an Edward R. Murrow Fellow at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and Inspire Fellow at its Institute for Global Leadership. He was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited. So if this has been a haven for Russian and Ukrainian money, laundered, if you will. What's Putin complaining about? I mean, I guess Putin would like to tax some of this money. Is that what's going on?
Well, I think Putin is playing a fairly interesting game here because, you know, he loaned Cyprus 2.5 billion euros about a year ago. And I think he's also interested in the fact that Cyprus has just found a lot of gas with the help of a U.S. company. They found reportedly 8 trillion cubic feet in a gas deposit within Cyprus national boundaries. And, you know, Gazprom is reported to have offered to assume some of the Cyprus bailout if, you know, they were given rights to develop those gas reserves. You know, Russia is also facing a situation where it may be having to relocate its naval base in Syria. And so Cyprus, you know, may be looking attractive from that standpoint. So I think Putin is simply standing by and sort of saying, well, I have no incentive to step in now. Let's see what the EU does if they bail these folks out or they come up with a resolution. You know, I'm no worse off. Otherwise, there may be some opportunities. So he has no incentive to move quick here.
I see. But my understanding is, though, that the latest thing on the table with the government of Cyprus that's in these desperate negotiations with Brussels, they want a $10 billion bailout, but they got to raise, what, about eight? They got to raise most of the money to get a bailout, which is a bit odd, it seems. But My understanding is the latest idea is, because, you know, the regular depositors under $100,000 were furious that they were going to be taxed and essentially 6.6% of their money confiscated. Now they apparently are going to put it all on the big depositors like the Russians. So
That's one of the things that, you know, the Cypriot government is in a tough place. They really don't want to be beholden to Russia either. They've already granted citizenship, according to the German intelligence, to about 80 Russian oligarchs, who are people with full EU rights. But no, you're right. The latest proposal that was being presented called for a 25% tax on deposits above 100,000 euros. And, you know, that would hit those Russian depositors pretty hard. You know, I think Cyprus would pretty clearly like to get the EU to support it and not to have to deal with the Russians. But I'm just saying that if that doesn't work out today, and the Brussels meeting is going on as we speak, so we'll know pretty soon. You know, they maybe have to go back to Plan C, I guess.
But wouldn't that mean that as a haven, Cyprus would lose all of that money? I mean, if you're going to have 25% of your money confiscated, that's hardly a deal if you're a tax dodger and a money launderer.
Well, there's a lot of dissension within the haven community in Cyprus about where the future lies. I mean, there's a whole constituency of, you know, several thousand accountants and lawyers that want the Cyprus to move in the same direction that places like Bermuda have gone, which is to have a more sort of orthodox form of haven where you're focusing on, you know, helping offshore corporations or helping major companies do their tax dodging instead of working with outright money launderers. So, you know, there are some that would actually welcome this step. My own view is that it's hard to see Cyprus coming out of this as a haven. With the same kind of resilience they've had, they've already accepted the idea of having capital controls, this levy on depositors. You know, they're reportedly being asked to raise their corporate tax rate from 10% to something more in line with what the Europeans have. So all of this, you know, means that Cyprus will have to, you know, I think change its business model, whatever it does here.
And be more like Bermuda and the Cayman Islands? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, you know, that would actually be a step up from what they've been doing, which appears to be outright money laundering.
Sure.
You know, it's also, I think, the EU is beginning to recognize that, you know, it was probably a mistake to simply allow in a country like Cyprus that has this kind of basic commitment to being a haven. I mean, the financial sector there is about 20% of its gross national product. And, you know, it's about to be decimated by whatever it does in this situation. So, you know, the amounts involved here are so small that it's hard to see that the EU would let them go belly up. But it may well be that you know, Merkel is just not willing to inject more money into this haven.
Well, she's sure unpopular in Cyprus. They're blaming it all on the Germans.
Yeah, I think that one thing they've clearly achieved, I mean, this has been another EU goat rodeo where the solution has been on the table and being kicked around for close to a year now without action, and they had to come to a crisis to resolve it. You know, they managed to start a bank run 2 weeks ago. They were, you know, sort of originally, I think, too lenient on Cyprus with respect to rules about money laundering and, you know, this banking system, and never really put the rules in place that they may now need to you know, that they certainly need to have EU-wide for bank regulation. So at the end of the day here, I expect there will be a solution worked out with the EU, which will call for tougher bank regulation in Cyprus and you know, a levy on these depositors.
So, James Henry, why is it then that the lessons of the dangers of these Treasure Island offshore havens, excuse me, with their unregulated banks, why does this not have any impact on Wall Street's push for deregulation and their determination to overturn Dodd-Frank?
Well, you know, Dodd-Frank was passed in a kind of a crisis environment, and then the banks have been allowed to go back to, you know, sort of normal behavior, which is for them what we call regulatory mining. And, you know, they have an army of lobbyists. They're spending something like $2,700 per congressman per day on lobbying in Washington. And, you know, it's not that they don't often benefit from government intervention, but they wouldn't be here today
but for government intervention, right?
So it isn't across the board, you know, free market position when it comes to regulation. But you know, I just think they can't resist the general kind of opportunity to make regulations as bank friendly as possible. So you know, and on the other side, there's relative handful of NGOs like Tax Justice Network, Citizens for Tax Justice, that are working these issues in Washington and other capitals around the world. We've grown in influence and importance over the last decade, but you know, it's still nothing like the armies of lawyers and accountants that descend on the Treasury Department or the congressional hearings when you have policy being made in these areas. So, you know, it's an uphill battle to prevent the banks from getting back to their old forms of behavior.
And this kind of lesson from Cyprus has no impact?
I would say that, you know, that this should make us all concerned about the role of dirty money in the international financial system, about the absence of effective bank regulation, about, you know, this is all eminently avoidable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of the lessons learned when you have the, or unlearned, when you have the banking industry left to its own devices, you know, you end up with, you know, these kinds of fiascos. I also think the EU has basically taken, you know, far too long to figure out how to, you know, to operate a effective banking regulation. And that's partly because their own banks are very powerful and, you know, don't want tougher regulation either. But, you know, I think it's time these kinds of recurrent crises, you know, are having impacts on the world economy, and you know, they're just way out of proportion to the, you know, the value that was created by the banking freedom to begin with. So I think mm-hmm. that, you know, this is just another example of the need for, you know, more sort of considered look at the role of bank regulation as an essential ingredient in solving the economic crisis. So this day, we still don't have. You know, Dodd-Frank is still being implemented in the United States. It's still the lobbyists in Washington are still working hard to undermine it and roll it back. And, you know, so there's, I mean, and of course, no bankers have gone to jail for any of the misbehavior that occurred in the last
right, and of course, years. As you point out, they have the best of both worlds. They have socialized risks and a capitalist upside. So,
yeah, well, I think that's, you know, but I think one lesson for tiny countries that are thinking about becoming havens is it's instructive to look at the Cyprus example, because this kind of problem is now occurred again and again for small countries that bet heavily on this financial sector and the international chicanery that goes along with it. They've ended up over and over again having big disappointments at the end of the day.
Well, James Henry, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with James Henry, who's an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist, and former chief economist at McKinsey & Company. He is the Edward R. Murrow Fellow at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and Inspire Fellow at its Institute for Global Leadership. He was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited. We're going to take a brief station break and be back and then go to Aman Jordan.
First